is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Welcome back, everybody. And blessings of great well-being be upon you. So this is going to stand as our final broadcast of the year and our first broadcast of the next year, 2020. We're going to actually talk about that and give you a word of encouragement from 2020. So, the Lord uses all kind of things. And a lot of times I think this sort of, prophetic word for the next year gets a little corny and old. But I feel like a lot of anointing on this. I got up from bed in the wee hours of the morning. And so I'm hoping this is going to be good encouragement to you. So what about 2020? Vision for life. Vision for our community life. So I am going to say, whatever we're looking at, may we see it better. And those people who are looking at lies, and in our divided world, we see that that has to be true. If half the people are saying A and the other half are saying very vehemently not A, then we have a divided world. And some things are true and some things are not true. And so if we're looking at lies, may we see those more clearly. Now, some of us think the lies are pretty obvious. I was in the gym and looking at a particular television channel, and I couldn't help but just speaking right out loud, like, it's obviously a lie. Like, there was really important news going on, and what they were talking about was a complete distraction and not true. Okay, so may everybody start seeing it for a lie. Okay, so when Saddam Hussein was in charge of Iraq, and all you could find on television was a wonderful opera singer standing in front of the Euphrates and singing the praises of Saddam Hussein, everybody knew how to evaluate that. And so they weren't as harmed by it as if they had evaluated that as the measure of reality. So may we see lies for lies. And I prophesy that more of that's going to happen. It's already been happening. Okay. And similarly, if we're looking at truth, may we be able to see that more clearly. I had a wonderful spiritual experience a few weeks, months ago, where I saw what I knew to be true, but I saw it more clearly. I saw it from heaven's perspective. At what demons say is garbage, and you know that. You know what the Bible and God says about you is true, but it weighs on you. It weighs on you. We're simply built to take into consideration our social environment. But what people say about you is not the true measure of your worth. Now, it's important that we're built like that so that if you're doing the wrong things and you keep on getting negative input that you know that maybe you should do a social course correction. But in our world that is so polluted socially, when people tell you wrong things and you know it's persecution because you did the right thing, or maybe you're your child and you don't know and people are just being ugly, then it's very helpful to know this is not about you. Your worth is in God. You are accepted in the Beloved. Okay, that's a verse in the opening portion of Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, the most wonderful, glorious book in the Bible, little book, and I believe that's in the first chapter. You are accepted in the Beloved. Jesus loves you. God made you, and God made you the way you are. He thought about you. You've got books written in heaven. He thought about you. And then he sent the spark of life into the world. And you were incarnated in your mother's womb. And so that's the way it works. The Creator, the Redeemer, and the Sustainer, Holy Spirit, with you. Open your heart up and be filled with that. This is the truth about who you are. And this is very important for learning disabled children, because they often get very negative input because they are not able to do what is expected. And so people assume that they are bad or lazy and say negative things to them, which is a shame because it's not a right diagnosis. And but anyway, this often happens. And learning disabled kids tend to be brighter than others, and so they already know that they're having a problem. And this kind of shame, well, it's very counterproductive. But hallelujah. You and I know, at least as adults, that we're accepted in the Beloved. We're trying hard. We've got something to contribute. When we are persecuted, we are standing with Jesus, just as he said we would, and our reward is great in heaven, the eternal heaven now, spiritually, but we'll see that later. So if we could see this from heaven's perspective, it wouldn't wear on us so much down here. And so this is the year of 2020. So I prophesy that you will see more from heaven's perspective. Hallelujah. But the use of such words, of talking about what the next year holds, and whether I'm unpacking from Hebrew, you know, I've never done one of these words, but I've heard a multitude of them. So whether it's unpacking from Hebrew, the meaning of 5780, or whether it's something like this, 2020, or whether it's just prophecy, the use of it is not, I'm going to tell you, I don't believe, and certainly this word is not, the use of it is not a magical thing. Like if you listen to it, something is going to change for you. This is the truth. Go and walk in it. So use this as encouragement to go do something. Go do it differently. So, yes, I believe that the Spirit is moving for seeing more clearly, but then you go and use that. Apply it and make it so. Okay, also 2020. Two. So may we not be one isolated, but two. And having partnership with somebody is the beginning of the kind of unity that we need. So go and care about a person. Now, in my calling, I'm often considering the good of the whole society, you know, the good of the whole church, the social structure, and the big picture. That's what I do. But it's important to apply it to the individual, right? So help an individual. And when I look back in my darkest moments, when I look back to my life, I can say, oh, but I helped so-and-so. Oh, but I helped so-and-so. You know, and so not a stupid, ineffective, or bad person. What the demons might tell me. So, no, I helped so-and-so. So go and care about a person. And find someone who really cares about you. Not a front. And this is another thing that children and young people often have a problem with. They mistake the false kind of care and get sucked into a control thing. Well, I suppose some adults, we have a tendency to do that too. So because we are so needy. So go and find somebody who cares, if not about you, at least about an issue. Somebody who cares and is working to do something useful. And even there, we often find that those people who care about an issue end up being controlled. Sad to say, there's corruption in the cause world. Okay, so again, we're beginning to see that more clearly. So there's a lot of manipulation. And what you do in politics can be swallowed up as a black hole and become ineffective. And what you do as in cause is, the first place you need to find out what is really true. Unless you know what is, you cannot get to where it should be. And so often there's some control and corruption. At that point, you're taught that something is that isn't. And I see a lot of students like that, and we talk about that. In when I teach college classes, first we need to find out what is empirically true, right? And then you can apply it in your best judgment about what ought to be. So, clear seeing. But two, start with partnership. And this is the start of the proper kind of unity. So, care about somebody or find somebody who cares and about something that you care about. And that's the beginning. You know, you have to apply what you know, or you can't learn more. You can't evaluate what you're learning if it's never applied. Okay, so that's two, partnership. And then zero. Let's talk about zero sins of the flesh. Yeah, I said that. Zero sins of the flesh. I realize this is not au courant. This is not of the times today. But I'm going to say it. Zero sins of the flesh. Our society is just saturated with pornography. And yes, we have a problem with literal porn coming across and enslaving mostly our men, as our women not as susceptible, and now even our children. And we've had Danny Johnson on 10 years ago. Danny Johnson was talking about this, and she was right. So they're reaching out to your 8-year-olds old, trying to enslave them. If you are enslaved with pornography or drugs, you are not smart enough to be a leader in the right direction. You are drugged. And of course, we also have just distraction. Just me working on my computer, I get so much distraction. So we've got to be of a firm mind, a sound mind, and take into captivity all thoughts. But zero sins of the flesh, saturated. Just think about the fashions. In the gym again, and I saw three girls, young women. Okay, probably one was over 20, and the other two were probably less than 18. Probably all sisters. Probably all from Middle Eastern families. Probably chaperoned in that room, although their father, big brother, wasn't in visible sight, but he was probably in the room. But they were dressed, oh, and beautiful women, beautiful. And they were dressed so risquely that even I, as a completely heterosexual female, could not look at them. You know, they had their behinds on display. So if that was true, I was shocked. I can't even imagine what my mother would have thought. And I think they come from a culture where, you know, burqas, certainly scarves, headscarves, would have been normal. And yet, how they were dressing and behaving in the gym was accepted. I don't know how the men could manage, really. Because here were these gorgeousimo women without obvious chaperones, displaying their beautissimous butts. Like, how can this be? How can this be acceptable in a gym that's actually Christian run? I don't know. I don't know how this can be. How can they feel dignified doing this? And of course, the men, I did look at the men and said, what are they? The men were very carefully not looking. So I guess men have, at least those were mature men. Ha! They were mature men. So they've learned how to control their vessels. But I'm telling you, I think this is an assault. Speaking of assault, I was doing something completely different and saw I was posting in the course of my work, posting something on Twitter, and had nothing to do with me, and saw somebody else's post that had also nothing to do with what I was doing or who I was posting for, that purported to be a video of high school boys dressed up as the Klan. It wasn't clear to me that that's actually what was envisioned. And words of the effect of, see what we have inculcated. So the words purported to be of a black person, and they purported to suggest that the Trump administration, or the support for Trump administration, had created this. And yet it was posted by somebody with a face and a name that sounded like they're from the Middle East. And I'm going, wait a minute, doo-doo-doo-doo. This sounds like stirring up trouble where none existed. That's what it looked like. That's what it read like. So may we see better. And may we not be hijacked. Because I think there is hijacking. And you know that this is a technique that's known. The CIA uses it, I hope, to good effect, or ethically, that if there is a movement, say a political movement, in some foreign country, and the people are speaking truth, okay, like they're speaking truth to the government, but the CIA doesn't want this movement to get going, so they plant people within that movement who testify and who say, you know, something like 90% of what the people agree with, but then say 10% that veers off. It's a Y in the road. Or they come in and they discredit the true witnesses. Okay, now, if you have gone to college and studied logic, you know that a good argument should be met by a good argument, but an ad hominem argument doesn't stand. Like, we shouldn't permit corruption in our government. That's what Party A says. But Party B says, oh, but you slept with somebody who's not your wife. So he's arguing against the party and not the Party A. He's against the person, ad hominem, against the man. So arguing against the person making the argument rather than against the argument. Well, the argument's true. But you're not going to, but people will throw it out because they're not skilled in logic. Okay, so help us to see better. And this happens, I think I saw an instance of this in the ministry world. So there are two camps in eschatology, but you know what? Nobody's got the center on the market. If you agree on salvation, good. The rest is opinion. But somebody from outside came and was a guest appearance on one guy's show, and they talked a bit against the whole camp. And actually what they were saying was not true. They were braiding in different sub-camps and, accusing everybody in the whole extended tribe of that theology to be guilty of what the excesses and heresies that some have had in the past 100 years. Okay, that just wasn't fair. And I think that the ministry that allowed this guest speaker on was just completely ignorant, because he thinks these are a small group of people and he's all involved in his eschatology. He knows those people. And this person from outside was causing real damage in the body of Christ. So let's see well, and apply that to do better. Zero sins of the flesh. zero sins of the flesh. Well, zero sins of pride, too. But I thought I was going to tell you a quick story about when I was in high school. My mother made me wear a one-piece bathing suit in the 70s. Well, where I grew up, everybody was wearing two pieces, but I wore one piece because Mother said it was not appropriate to show your belly button. And I heard that the guys were talking about me. This was a Christian camp, and the guys were talking approvingly about me because I had a one piece. Like, I just had to do this, and I had no thought about this or the guys or anything else. But apparently my stock on who to date went up. I wasn't thinking about it. Okay, zero sins of the flesh works really well because good guys want good girls for wives, and women want husbands and not the fawns. Not really. They don't. It appears good, but, you know, even on the show of the fawns where they twisted and the high school dropout was the cool guy, he didn't get to marry the cool girls. Okay, so 2020, see better, do better. Somebody famous said, when you know better, you do better. So let's get doing. Okay, so I want to quickly announce again that there's going to be a slight change in this ministry. Change in branding, really what it is. We're going to have a better focus on learning disability. We're going to change the name so it will focus on that, so it will be better branding, so it will bring the right people who need the help to the cast, and hopefully will be better evangelism. Hopefully I won't lose those of you that I have, but there are plenty faith ministries, and there are lots of people who, because they know there's a profit in it, will go after the grand market. And of course, I care about the grand market, and will grandparents. And we still will keep our GSB4G tab on. We may have to call it something else if we don't call a broadcast the Great Shalom. But anyway, we're trying to communicate, reach out a little bit better. Now, I can't keep a whole lot on that tab because I have to pay for that space. Of course, I pay for the podcast too. This is incorrect. It's incorrect. The Lord said, you don't take script. So it's incorrect that I pay for my ministry. But because it's a podcast rather than airtime, it's certainly possible to do so and sustainable. So I'll say that the Lord pays for it through funding me. But we're going to change that. And I'm just casting off a lot of foolish things that people have said to me. There's a whole lot of foolish things that people say to me. I notice that people are very happy to spend my money. All right? So a friend thought, oh, Y2K is coming. I need a bike. And so he told me that I had to buy a new bike. Like, because it was my money, I could have done, now that 20 years later, how many times have I ridden that bike? A used bike would have been perfectly acceptable, but it was my money, so it didn't matter, right? To him. So he, and yet I did what he said. Okay, similarly, and even much more so, people have told me what I cannot do. And I think back to all the foolish rules that people have told me. I can't do this, and I can't do that, and I can't do the other thing. They're all foolish. They're not things from the Bible. They're just things that they made up or their denomination made up and limited my ability to do ministry. So I'm seeing better, and we're going to do what I'm going to do what I think God is telling me to do. And I'm going to do the best I can. And it's not like I don't listen to other people. Right. So I know somebody that's the rule of their life, and predictably, you know, do well. So it's not that, but for throwing out the foolish rules that simply constrain ministry. Okay. Hallelujah. So we're going to see better and we're going to do better. Yes. All right. So let's get doing. So please come to the website, greatshalom.org. You'll still have that link, but we're going to have a name change. The address will be the same. You can write me. If you write it to Great Shalom, that will work. P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78613. And continue. There will be resources there. You know, I've got books. I've got books, and you could come to the website and click through lulu.com. I have books on Amazon. We're going to try to put the books on Lulu on Amazon, but, you know, I'm not twiddling my thumbs here. My friend asked me, when do you work? I said, when I'm awake. She said, no. What are your work hours? I say, awake hours. So given that kind of lifestyle, you know, I can't tell you when we're going to change over. But for now, they're available. Go and make yourself, you know, avail yourself of these things, because they're useful. God wants you healed. I had that title before Andrew Womack had used the title. Learn at Home for Great Shalom. We address every learning need in there. So you should be doing homeschooling for your learning needs and not just simply replicating public school, for heaven's sakes. So let's get away from the sewage that's going flowing down from all the systems that Satan has arrived for us, and let's do some healing, because we see better and we can do better. And this is Sharon Sorrells saying for the last time that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sorrells. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.